Welcome to Southern Maryland Perspectives. My name is Brad Gottfried, and I'm the President Emeritus of the College of Southern Maryland. This is a talk show that features timely topics and guests from around the region. With me today is Dr. Helen Daugherty. She's Professor of Sociology at St. Mary's College. And we'll talk a little bit about what it's like to be a faculty member, and Dr. Daugherty has been at the college for several years. But mainly I want to talk about the Center for the Study of Democracy. It's a wonderful asset for the college, for all of us in Southern Maryland, and I'm afraid not enough of us really know what it does and why it's so important. So Dr. Daugherty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to come today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you. Start off with the same question. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a sociologist, and I study issues about race relations and gender and social inequality, and I'm a demographer by training, so a lot of my work is very statistical. And I've been at the college now for 35 years.
Wow.
Seen a lot of good change happen over the years.
Yes.
And it's a great place to be.
It certainly is, and it's a great, great college. It's such a wonderful asset to all of us, not only in Southern Maryland, but also in the state, quite frankly. So I understand, Dr. Daugherty, that you were one of the founders. You were there when the Center for the Study of Democracy actually began.
Yes, I was. It actually starts with a committee that was put together by Maggie O'Brien, who was president at the time.
Oh, yes.
And we were looking for a way to bring St. Mary's College and St. Mary's City together with some strong component. There's a strong component of the archaeology, but to take it a little bit further, I was actually the chair of that committee.
Okay, so, wow.
So, you know, it's one of those developments that you start out with a word and then, you know, it gets bigger and a dream. So from that initial committee that was a joint committee with St. Mary's City and the college, a big leap was to take it into the Department of Social Sciences at the college. And we embraced it at something, just really calling it a center. We didn't know. And so we realized that connection between us as academic workers at the college and what the legacy of St. Mary's City would be was to really focus on democracy.
Yes.
And we were bold enough then to say that we could start with the roots of St. Mary's City and go international at some point. So that was a vision.
Okay.
Excuse me. The other big part of that, and I, is the naming, that when we decided to name it the Center for the Study of Democracy, we didn't want it to be a partisan place.
Right.
We wanted it to be a place where people study democracy. And I think we've really held to that idea for a long time. And I think that's been important. So we were in 2002 given a very generous grant. We had a supporter from the Board of Trustees. We were able to hire our first director, and we are very excited and surprised, not surprised, but excited to be having our 15th anniversary this year.
Wow, that's great.
It is great.
So when it started, it was just a dream. I guess you couldn't imagine it would be as successful then as you know it is now.
That's right. We started out with a, as I said, it was a $250,000 very generous donation. And now we have an endowment of over $3
million. Wow, well, I didn't realize that.
That's through NEH grants and also the legacy of J. Frank Raley. He was very good to the center, and his love of, I think, seeing something that really brought those together was an important part of why we've been successful.
So you mentioned what the philosophy was. You didn't want it to become political, but it was so important to have this kind of initiative. What are some of the programs or the kinds of, we'll get into some specifics, but if you take last year, for instance, what are some of the programs and some of the initiatives that you find that are just basic kinds of things?
excuse me, mostly lectureships.
Okay.
And the lectures come from people all over the country. We have, in addition to a relationship with St. Mary's City, a very good relationship with the Patuxent Partnership. And so that puts us in touch with a lot of the people in the Navy contracting community and also in the active military. And so we our next, I'll talk about the one that's coming up actually in December 12th, is a defense forum on the Arctic.
Ah.
You know, there's a lot of concern about some of the Nordic countries about their relationship with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a full-day forum that's going to take place on December 12th.
Okay. Perfect.
That requires a reservation, but you can go online to do that.
Okay.
It's the only thing. Most of our events are all free to the public. This one, with its joint relationship with the Patuxent Partnership, has a fee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. I mean, we have all sorts of people that will be coming in to hear and learn for me, and experts who know what they're talking about, and I will really enjoy that.
Yes.
The last, we had a documentary that was shown on the Cuban Missile Crisis, again, one of those milestone events that we have, and we all kind of know how it ends, but the intrigue of this documentary was like watching a movie thriller unfold.
I can imagine.
It was wonderful. And then things that are ongoing every year, we celebrate Constitution Day.
Okay.
One of my favorites was not a lecture, but a program that we did down at Ridge Elementary School and had kids make very patriotic looking posters and, you know, and a wonderful time. And we've done that a couple times, but mostly we get somebody that's a scholar on the Constitution and takes one of the issues that we have before us right now and talks about it. They're very often lawyers. And so they're wonderful people that come in and volunteer their time when we come. And then we have some named lectureships. There's one named for Ben Bradley, who was on our board.
Yes.
And I think the Cokie Roberts was here last
spring.
And so we get somebody that right now still has ties to Ben Bradley's legacy. And it just makes it really interesting and fun and and very much alive. There's a we have a Margaret Brent lectureship that's in part with the center, but it's mostly with the college that recognizes women in all different walks of life. So we've had some wonderful women in Congress come down and talk, activists talk, just lots of wonderful opinions of people that are active in their lives. So the center has, we're very fortunate to have a very good group of students, and under our new executive director, Maya Harkonnen, she's established a student ambassador program.
So that's a great idea.
Well, it's a great idea, and it's a great idea from the academic point of view, because the students are taking what they're learning in some of their classes, and then they are the people that we're asking to greet our speakers, talk to our speakers, be the people that sit on the stage and ask questions. So they really are learning a lot about just how to do those kinds of events and how important they are, and we're very proud of them.
And I'm looking at a photograph of last fall. It looks like two, four, at least about maybe nine of them or so act as ambassadors then?
Yes. In March of 2016, we did a panel up in Baltimore. And we've never done this before. It was a real risk. The year before, there had been a lot of, you remember the Freddie Gray incidents
in
Baltimore.
Of course.
And many of our students come from Baltimore City. And so Tawanda Jordan, the president of the college, thought it would be really important for us to show some support for Baltimore, even though we're pretty isolated, not to think we're not thinking about them. A lot of alums in Baltimore. And so Dr. Harkonnen created a two-day forum on economic inequality. And she's originally from Finland. The reason she's not here today is because she's been teaching in Moscow.
I didn't realize that.
And so we had one day was a focus on a lot of international issues about inequality. And then the second day was a focus on things in the United States with a focus on Baltimore. And the other colleges up there participated. The Naval Academy participated.
Wow.
And so we had about 250 people that mm-hmm. came to that. And again, what you pointed out were the students
yes.
were the greeters that day, but they also had their own panel. I'm just very proud of them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Very proud of them.
Well, you know, one of the nice things, not to digress a bit, the nice thing about being a faculty member is to work with young people who have their whole lives in front of them, and so many, especially those at St. Mary's College, they're motivated, and I don't want to say they're like sponges, but they are like sponges, and you can see the impact that you have on them, and I think that's wonderful.
Well, there are wonderful moments, like when you're talking about something and a student blurts out, "I never thought about this before,"
yes.
and I
mm-hmm.
go, "Well, that's why we're here."
Yes.
those kind of moments are really good, or when they say, "This was really difficult to read," and I like that because I can say, "Yes, there's more to be read."
Mm-hmm.
We can keep going forward with that. And I think the students at St. Mary's, the students that come have to really like St. Mary's because we're pretty isolated.
Yeah. I love it. Wife and I were just down to Point Lookout,
mm-hmm.
and we drove through the campus, and my wife and I always say, "Oh, what a lovely spot, what a lovely campus." And but, you know, not everybody, especially people coming from certain areas, it may not be the bright lights that they're looking for.
No, but those that stay, mm-hmm. I think, really find just for the place itself and the experiences that they get. And
mm-hmm.
I went to very large schools, but I've become a real fan of the small liberal arts
yes.
college. I think one of the things that I enjoy most is graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a sort of gauntlet, I would call, that all the graduating seniors walk through, and the faculty are on either side and wish them well.
That's nice.
And what I've noticed in my 35 years at St. Mary's is that every student that graduates from St. Mary's has at least one faculty member that's going to care what they do in their
mm-hmm.
future.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that in large places.
No, you certainly don't.
You may, some do. Some get a good mentor and that carries mm-hmm. them through. But I think it's every single student. You can just see them. And there's a lot of energy in that. And
oh, yes. And one of the advantages, obviously, you know, University of Maryland, Towson, they're great places, but sometimes it's harder to have those personal relationships with faculty members.
It's not hard. I taught at Maryland for a while. It's not hard to have a good relationship with a faculty member. It's the sustainability of the relationship,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's seeing, again, something that I really love about being there is how they change in 4 years.
Yes.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when at Maryland, I could get to know the students in a particular class, but I was lucky if I ever really saw them again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's really good.
Yes. Well, let's get back to the center, if we may. I'm looking at a brochure for fall events, and it is amazing. The scope, you know, the film series, the lectures, et cetera. And now, if I assume most of these, all of these, you mentioned the one on the Arctic is a little bit different, but are they open to the public? Is there a charge for people to participate?
Everything is open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, this is the first time we're doing this. There will be a charge for this one on the Arctic mm-hmm. Domain, but everything else is always free. We have
mm-hmm.
never charged anything for people to come.
And I assume for people to get information on the various programs, you have a website that they can go to?
We have a website which is, you know, simple. It's just SMCM, St. Mary's College of Maryland,
mm-hmm.
edu/democracy.
Okay.
And, you know, you can just Google the Center for the Study of Democracy at the college. That's the fastest way to always find these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, most of the events are in the early evening or
mm-hmm.
late afternoon, which we've done a lot more of that. I think it's sometimes easier, especially for some of us to go at at 4 or 5 o'clock rather
yes.
than wait till 8.
Oh, I hear you. As I get older, 8 o'clock doesn't work for me. I like early The earlier, the better. I'm looking at the one where, I guess this was this past year.
Yes.
The Constitution Day lecture,
yes.
Which occurs at this one occurred at 4:45. Mm. Do you have a good turnout at these lectures generally?
Yes. I think those, we have a strong group of people from the community that find out what we're doing either through an email list that we have with the center so that we broadcast, send that out to let people know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people find out because they've joined this college's Arts Alliance.
Okay.
And the Arts Alliance at St. Mary's College also tends to put in the events that are happening at the center. So it gets a pretty wide distribution locally. We don't have to do a lot of outside advertising. We do for some of the bigger events, but I think the rooms are not necessarily full that you have to get there really early to get a seat, but they're well attended.
That's great. With Dr. Helen Daugherty, she is professor of sociology at St. Mary's College in Maryland. And we're talking about the Center for the Study of Democracy, where most of the programs, actually virtually all of them, are no cost, free, open to the public, very stimulating, a wide variety of programs, whether it's Constitution Day, whether it's programs dealing with current events. Really encourage all of our listeners to check out the website and see what's happening, because it is a wonderful resource. And while St. Mary's College is a little bit further down the road, it's really not bad for any of us. And I'm going to spend more time now that I'm retired, hoping, because I've never gotten to one of the programs, but maybe in the future I'll be able to do so.
Oh, good.
So now, are you still on the advisory? I know you were one of the founders. Are you still on the advisory council?
Yes. Yes, and it's an advisory board to the director, to the executive director, and the outside advisors, those that aren't faculty members, are really important to us because they're the ones that help us get the speakers.
I was going to ask you, so how do you select that?
We have great networks of people.
Okay.
Great networks. Well, we have both Ben Cardin and Steny Hoyer are on our board,
okay.
As is Michael Steele. So we have a nice coverage of the political people that come. And actually, we have a lot of politicians. We invite any politician that's running to come down to St. Mary's and talk to our students, either in a class or a lunchtime forum or a regular speaker. I think, again, Dr. Harkonnen is planning to invite several people that will be coming up for re-election shortly, either as debates, open forum. So we have done work with the League of Women Voters to have those kind of things there.
Mm-hmm.
So the board is very good about helping us find speakers that are in their networks. As I said, with the Ben Bradley lecture, that's been important to us. We've had Carl Bernstein. We had names that may not actually know where we are until they drive down here. And so they're just a really wonderful group of people that are there. So, yes, I'm still on the advisory board. We are doing well, I think. We have, again, just a full set of new programs coming up.
That's great. Now, the Ben Bradley program, I know the Constitution program is in mid-September. Is the Ben Bradley lecture series at a certain month or a certain time of the year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it last year it was in the spring, and it will be, I think, I'm not sure we have it every year.
Oh,
but
okay.
It mostly depends on the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we have been very fortunate to get people that have been closely tied with Ben Bradley's career.
Yes.
And we let them really choose the time frame, and then we work around that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about him. What a living legend. And I think most people around the country don't realize that he had a second home, or he had a home in St. Mary's County. And he came. He was a fixture here, wasn't he?
Well, he wasn't just a fixture. He really liked it here. And he participated. And I always liked he was on the foundation for Historic St. Mary's City. And then he was on the board for St. Mary's College. And he had a large personality that was just really generous to us. And I think that's why he and people that know him endowed this lectureship for him, and why they are still today very excited to come down, because he was just a really good person.
Yes. Oh, yes. I was listening to an interview with, I guess, his wife, Sally Quinn.
Right.
And it was so clear the love that those two individuals had for each other. It was very, very touching. Do you remember about when he actually bought a place in St. Mary's County? I mean, was it decades? Was it, you know, was it in the 1990s?
You know, I think, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I, and they might have bought it, their property earlier and had to do some major work. So I don't really know when they were there. But he started being active in the life of the college, I think, in the late 80s.
Okay. And was he still with the Post when he was active?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I guess he was there for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he had probably retired prior to when I arrived, which was 2006. He may have retired by then. I'm fairly certain he had. Okay. So hundreds and hundreds of programs since in the 15 years.
Yes.
That the center has been in operation. What's been your favorite? Has there been one that stands out for
you?
Well,
I was moderator for that Baltimore Forum, and we've never done anything so big. It was a real risk. It was a lot of fun, and I just think the we had a lot of people from St. Mary's County who came up for that, and that was nice. I was so proud of the students and all of that. So that was probably one of my favorites. I'm really proud that we... it was through the center that the faculty started a minor in democracy studies. So there's been a nice blend between, it's not a competitive issue. The center is there to support St. Mary's College. And so a lot of programs that the center supports come from the other academic departments that say, can you help us and sponsor us? Because we have this endowment. So we have some money to share. To bring in other speakers. And I said it started with the social sciences, but there's an ongoing program now about called Democracy and Jazz. And I think they have a program, if it wasn't last night, it's this weekend. And so the center helped start that. We were the initiated that, but now it's taken over with another group. So that's music. We've had art exhibits that look at well, we looked at dissident art in Russia, and certainly that's that idea of the study of democracy, because it's not a democracy, and certainly finding out when you can see dissident art about people that are not happy with what's going on in their own country was it's pretty telling. And that was related to the art collection of... Norton Dodge, who was also on our faculty. He was had a big collection of dissident art from his time.
I didn't realize.
We've had a lot of characters at the college.
And you still do.
And we still do.
You know, the Freddie Gray incident was such a touch point, very controversial, still controversial. Here you were moderating the at least part of the forum. Were you a little concerned that perhaps it could have gotten a little heated, or were you feeling that it was going to take more of a civil, more of a collegiate tone?
I think it was academic in nature, and I wasn't really worried at all. But I will tell you that we purposely had the event in the hotel right outside of West Baltimore, and we were concerned that people might come. We told the security that, in fact, if people came, we wanted them to be allowed in, that this was an open forum. And we had one man that was homeless, visibly homeless, and then self-described himself as being homeless. And I just said, you know, he sort of came with a lot of things. And he participated in both days, and he gave wonderful comments, and I think that that was such a wonderful addition. I mean, we didn't seek out him coming, but he was there. And I think we had such a nice representation of people who were politicians that were there and people that worked for nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And we had good dialogue.
It sounds that way.
It was a wonderful experience.
I would think so for everyone, not just the students. I would think everyone would have benefited from that kind of exposure. I do want to mention they're very well done. The Occasional Paper series.
They are very interesting to read, yes.
Do they come out every year? Is it periodic?
Well, right now, most of the time when we have the like the Defense Forum with the Patuxent Partnership, there is always a white paper that comes out of those. And they're available for free at the center.
Ah.
We give those away. And then some of these have been speakers, people that came to the college, and then they have joined with a faculty member who has research in the area that they were also talking about, and they do a collaborative piece. I don't know which ones you're looking at, but one on Maryland disease. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
And I can't see who was wrote it.
Yes, disease.
You know, there was one that was about Spiro Agnew because it was on Maryland politics.
Okay.
And one of the past directors, Zach Massetti, and his colleague, Chuck Holden, have a book coming out maybe in the spring on the Spiro Agnew days and what it meant to Maryland politics. So they have since written, there is one of the white papers was on that because we had a speaker about it, and they've since they're writing a book. So some of these go off and get bigger and bigger, and that's really what you want from a center is to see people grow.
Oh, yes, no question about it. Well, we are almost out of time, but enough time to talk about. So you said you've been at St. Mary's College for about 35 years or so?
I have.
What's been the biggest change over the years that you've experienced?
Well, the biggest change has been in the classes I teach.
Okay.
Actually, I think, you know, I mentioned I teach the sociology of gender. I teach a class in race and ethnic relations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the topics have to evolve.
Yes.
After 35 years ago, we weren't talking anything about gay and lesbian relationships. And now it's a core part, doesn't take up a lot of the semester, but certainly it's a core issue. And one that as a society that we're talking about. The idea that we have gay marriage is very strong conservative institution and have seen that kind of change. I'm a sociologist. That's what we notice is the change that happens out there comes into the classroom all the time. So that's what's changed, I think, is not so much the college, but I think we have a faculty that's, I think, much more involved in research now, and I think it's a strength that we have for the college than when I first came. And they create even better opportunities for the students to leave St. Mary's and either go into jobs or go to graduate school or medical school. Some reason, a lot of my students are now going into public health. I think that's great.
Okay.
And then what stays the same is equally important, and I think the students that we have, another colleague said this to me first, that our students are just nice people. And I will say kudos to you, too, because I think the students that transfer from the College of Southern Maryland are always good students.
I agree with you.
I would hope so.
Yes. And, you know, it's something we talked a little bit about this off air. It's a wonderful opportunity. I mean, it's great for a student to start off at St. Mary's, but those who, for whatever reason, aren't able to, it's a great pathway from CSM to St. Mary's College.
And they do well.
They definitely do
well.
They
do well. And, you know, I have a student that did that right now. She's been working with me for the last year. And she's one of the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been very impressed. You know, open enrollment, we get a variety of students, but those who want to go to St. Mary's, they are the cream. There's no question about it.
Oh, good.
And we appreciate that. Well, we are actually out of time. I don't know if this has felt like 30 minutes, but we've talked for about
30. I've enjoyed it.
Me too.
I have enjoyed it
very informative. I do want to encourage all the listeners, to go onto the website and to participate in the Center for the Study of Democracy at St. Mary's College of Maryland. Virtually all the programs are free, open to the public, and I think it's a wonderful way to be stimulated to learn more about current events and things that are happening in the world. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Helen Daugherty, who is professor of sociology at St. Mary's College. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank the listeners for tuning in, and I hope you join me next week for another edition of Southern Maryland Perspectives. Until that time, I'm Brad Gottfried, President Emeritus of the College of Southern Maryland.